Thank you, Andre. Right, just a brief recap of what Andre said, at least part of it. Right, and what I'm going to be talking about today is a lot of work that has been done over the past 3 years at ORL in the area of multimedia information retrieval. And then I'm going to talk about a project that I'm just ramping up now that is going to carry on that work further, and some things in that area that we're going to carry on doing research into. Before I do that, though, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about who ORL is, because it's quite a little-known place, and it's a very interesting lab. I mean, it's up until 1996, we were the O in ORL stood just for Olivetti. We were the Olivetti Research Lab, the way that it worked is that Olivetti funded us, but we were completely independent of them, and we just carried on doing interesting things that we thought were interesting. And the way that they tended to actually make money out of us was that if we did something that looked like it would actually be viable to make money, we'd roll out a little separate company, and that would go off, and then Olivetti would own that, and they'd make money from that, and we just carry on doing what we wanted to do. And in 1996, last year, Bella Lawson was making an investment in Cambridge generally. And came by our lab and looked around, liked the looks of it, and said, yeah, I'd like some of that. So he then decided to co-fund the lab. So we now get, which basically doubled our budget. So we now have Oracle and Olivetti jointly funding us on that same basis. So both companies are completely hands-off. But if we do something interesting, then we might roll out a company, and then they'll both profit from that. And then, of course, both companies are also completely free to take any of the IPR that comes out of the lab and use it for whatever purposes that they want. But it's a very, I don't think I've ever seen a lab run that way, and it really works very well. It's not an industrial lab. We had a similar sort of arrangement from 90 to 92 with DEC, so we kind of take money from whoever will throw it at us, really. But that was slightly different, because that was focused on particular projects. So we had like a DEC project and Olivetti project. But this Oracle funding is a sort of full-blown, long-term thing. So we are now the Olivetti and Oracle lab. And we're run by Andy Hopper, who is a full-time academic at Cambridge, as well as running our lab. And then, as I've said here too, we have very, very tight links with Cambridge University, because Andy is actually an academic there, and that actually works very well as well. So we fund a lot of PhD students, and we get a lot of them in our lab, and it's a really good sort of interaction that way. So that's how we're structured, and this is the kind of things that we do. Very early on, we got into ATM networking. That it sort of came out of the Cambridge ring, because I don't know how many of you know about the Cambridge ring, but it was one of the first token passing rings, token passing networks. And based on that, we got into very early experiments with ATM. And our lab, in fact, both of the buildings of our lab are completely outfitted and have been for probably over 7 years with high-speed ATM networks, which has enabled us to do lots of experiments in the area of multimedia. We've done a lot of experiments with video phones and video mail and that kind of thing, and very high-quality audio, high-quality video, to see where we can actually push these things to. So we have big expertise in that area. Another thing that we do is mobile systems, and usually linked to this sensor-driven computing techniques that I've talked about. And the one bit of this that you may have actually heard of is the active badge. This, by the way, this is not a Xerox thing. The active badge was actually invented and built in our lab, and then the guy who did that went off to Xerox a year later. So Xerox often, this is often called the sort of Xerox active badge, but in fact it was actually developed in our lab. And we make extensive use of this I don't know how many of you know about this, but what this badge does is everyone in our offices wears these badges, and there are sensors in all of the rooms, so that everybody in our company is always located on a sort of room scale, so we know what room everybody's in. We also put little versions of these on every piece of equipment we have, and I mean every piece of equipment, so that we know where you are and we know what sort of equipment is near you. And you can do a lot of very fascinating applications with this. I mean, one simple one is that we have a system whereby we can redirect our X window displays to any nearby terminal. And that's linked to this badge. So I can walk into somebody's office, press one of these buttons, and my X environment comes up exactly in exactly the same way it was wherever I was last looking at it. And I can show them whatever I was doing or do something with it, and then walk down the hallway into somebody else's office and have it pop up in exactly the same state there. And this is one application of this. And there are actually other interesting applications. Phone calls follow us wherever we happen to be. If you ring my number, the phone nearest to me will ring, not my home phone. And you know there are lots of applications like that. So that now is fairly old technology. We're looking at much more wacky sensor systems now as well. We have one thing. We have an ultrasound system, by which you wear a similar badge, but that locates you to within about a 5-centimeter radius rather than just a room radius. So suddenly we know we can not only tell that you're in the same room with computer X and camera Y, but you are actually now in front of workstation X with camera Y behind you and audio box Z up here. And we haven't really built any applications on that yet because we're just getting those sensors going, but there's going to be a lot of interesting experiments to do there as well. And this has always been a really fundamental part of our lab's work. What else was I going to say? I won't talk about the network computing idea. All that I will say is that we were doing this before Oracle came along. So this is we've always had this idea of thin clients, centralized services, generally over high-speed networks. But that's something that we've also been very interested in. And lately, and what came out of this, we did a lot of experiments with video mail. In fact, actually, I've got a slide on this. Why don't I just... What has got us into information retrieval is... So we have this kind of kit all over all of our offices. So there are... And these are all direct... All the, like, the sort of cameras and microphones and speakers and everything else are all direct ATM network peripherals. And so like, we can put them anywhere where we have this network. We have them all over the place. And so we've done a lot of experiments using this for various applications, but in particular, video mail. So we've ended up with a corpus of, I think, over 1,000 hours of video mail. And of course, we ran into this sort of very real problem that if you want to look for a piece of video mail that you got 3 weeks ago, how do you do it? You can't just go into Emacs and type Control S. We have to have someone searching. So that's what really motivated our first work in the area of multimedia information retrieval. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you a short video to show you the first project that we did in this area, the one that that was motivated by our video mail corpus. And after that, I will talk about two more projects that are going on now that have come out of this project. So turn this off.